Get ready to kick up some dirt and mud because it's time for San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio with Dave Stahl. SDORC is here to further off-roading as a safe family experience while promoting and preserving the natural environment. So whether it's bikes, buggies, trucks, or trikes, San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio brings you the latest news and initiatives in preserving the use of off-highway vehicles and protecting the land and wildlife at the same time. Because together, everyone achieves more. Now, here is your host, Dave Stahl.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome to SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
This segment is brought to you by Alpha Site Logistics, serving the Imperial Valley for over 20 years. They offer portable toilets, hand wash stations, hand wash trailers, shade trailers, dumpsters, and much, much more. Give them a call, 760-352-8383, and you can ask for a quote today. You can also visit them on Facebook at www.facebook.com/alphalogistics. And make sure you tell them you heard it right here on SDORC Dirt Radio. How's it going, kid? Oh, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Smiley little Audrey sitting
got
over
it
here. Ed Stoven in the house talking SDORC Dirt Radio. I've actually had, just this week alone, I've had like two or three people tell me how much they love this show, to be honest with you.
Wow. Awesome.
See them in restaurants. Seen one guy at KUSI. One guy actually came up while I was having breakfast and just complimented me on the fact that we were doing, you know, something to help try to save the desert. And I said, well, good. Do you belong to SDORC? And he goes, yes, I do. And I said, okay, well, there you go.
Wow.
Move your microphone over.
How's that?
Much better. It makes a big difference.
So what's kicking, chicken?
Well, you know, we definitely need our membership. So become a member. It's $25 annually. It helps us to keep the deserts open. It helps pay for our lobbyist, which we our legislation is moving through committees. It just made a minor change just got added to one of them. So,
yeah, I saw two bills got amended. I think is the right word.
Yeah, that's probably the better word.
227, the red sticker bill. A year got changed from 2023 to 2024 of an implementation. So if that were to take place, I think there might be a gap year between when the program ends and when.
Why do you suppose they did that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's all speculation, whatever you think.
Yeah. Who knows if they don't like us or they think it's just going to take time.
Or maybe they want to take the time to see if we'll give up.
Yeah.
Haven't they figured us
out? And another
out
bill
now?
Could sneak in between and maybe cancel what they're doing.
What was the other one?
I don't remember. I'm sorry.
That's okay. It's just a matter of fact that, you know, I still am shocked that for as many years as they've been trying to shut everything down, I mean, and it's just like a full time job to them.
Yeah. It's a full time job battling to keep it open.
Right.
Is definitely. Right.
So $25 a month or a year. I mean,
a year. Yeah, not a month. We would love. There
that
is an option
great.
For monthly donations. $5 weekly, monthly, and it
Five,
really
ten.
Does.
25 would be awesome.
25 would be absolutely amazing.
If we could get a lot of people giving $5 a month, I mean, a lot of people, we could do some amazing things.
Right.
Because we don't do a lot on the national stage, and I would love to have a national federal lobbyist.
Oh, wow.
Because there's a lot of stuff going on in the federal government, and all across the country, the off-road vehicle advocacy groups do not have a big say. There's a couple groups that have a small amount of say, but I would like a California group. There's no one in California off-road vehicle has a lobbyist in Washington, D.C.
Really?
We did for a while. We had this guy, Paul Cavanocchi, helped us when we tried to get the Endangered Species Act upgraded, like repaired or fixed. That was about 2002 and 3. I went to DC with a group from SDORC and we walked the halls. It was really interesting. And we got our legislation through the House, but it didn't make it through the Senate. That was when Richard Pombo was congressman in Tracy, California.
Mm-hmm.
After that whole thing happened, the environmentalists went after Pombo tooth and nail, and they actually took him down. He was in a relatively safe district seat up there in farm country, and they trucked in people from the Bay Area and they actually got him out. It was a big disappointment. He was a big hero of mine.
So let me ask you this. You know, I mean, I don't want to be obvious, but wouldn't you think the Off-Road Business Association would be throwing bucket loads of money at this problem? Because, well, if the off-road industry goes away,
when
what are they going to sell?
And I thought Share Trails had a national lobbyist. Am I wrong with that?
That's BRC.
BRC. Blue I don't Ribbon think Coalition, they do. They even ShareTrails.org.
They dropped their state one in really? The in the pandemic.
So I thought Blue Ribbon Coalition had it though. No,
I don't think they did. I don't think they have ever. I think the AMA and somebody else.
But I'm just saying the off, you know. Yeah.
Well, Off-Road Business Association used to was in with Paul Cavanocchi back in those days.
Well, then what seems to be, I mean, who's talking to these guys? I mean.
They should. And they're a national organization.
Yeah.
All the businesses. They
are they going to wait till they shut everything down? Then what are they going to sell and sell to?
That's hard.
I want to say that.
With so much money coming in from the UTV, the side-by-side sales.
Okay, but where
that money should really be.
Where are you going to ride them if the deserts are closed?
Well, the money going to the businesses from those should be channeling a portion of it to having a federal law, federal representation.
And well, who's in charge of Off-Road Business Association?
Fred Wiley.
Let's get Freddie on radio. Give me the challenge. I'll go after him.
You know, that might be fun.
But let me, you know, I'll
I'd like
do
to
it.
Hear. I'd like to hear. And
I'll
Orba
do it as
started
a radio.
With Roy Denner. Did you know Roy? Were you friends with Roy? Uh-huh. So he started it and he passed it on to Fred when he got sick.
Right.
And Roy has since passed away.
Right.
And also was inducted into the Off-Road Motorsports Hall of Fame.
Right.
Yep.
But so Fred has been running it ever since then.
Where's Fred located?
Bakersfield.
Okay. Can you get me his contact info? Not right this very second, but
I have it. Yeah, I'd love to give that to you.
And I'll be happy to come in, not as a business owner, not as even as a avid off-road enthusiast, but come in as a media personality that says, hey, you need to chip in, guys. I don't care what percentage it is, but you need to, whether you start your own lobbyists or whether you support, you know, SDORC or Corva or any of the other ones, I don't care. But you can't just sit there, take in all the money, and let the little guys do all the work. That's just not fair.
They have their own state lobbyist. They share Terry McHale with the AMA District 36 and 37. And they were with California Association of Four-Wheel Drive Clubs. And they gave up. Cal Four-Wheel gave up during the pandemic. They dropped out. They may go back in when they start having events. So they have their own group, and like we have a different group.
Yeah.
And so there's some internal politics, of course.
Well, there's always politics.
It'd be fun to hear their say on how they manage federal issues.
Well, because that's exactly what I'm going to tell them. I says, you know, we're the only off-road show in Southern California. We need you as the off-road business associations, the one we support by buying your products from all your constituents. We need you to come on air and tell us why you're not a bigger player in this game.
Okay.
Let's see what he says. If he says, no, I'm not, I don't want to get involved, that's fine. Then I'm going to, and I'll tell him, I said, okay, then that's what I'm going to tell everybody come Sunday on radio, and I'll send you a copy of the show. I mean, that's what the left does. They push you into the corner and threaten you, and I'm not going to threaten anybody, but I'm just going to tell him, I'm going to give you first shot of coming on air, and instead of coming up with excuses, why don't you join us?
That's great.
Yeah.
We'll work that out.
Okay. And I mean, I'm happy to do it. I am so happy to do it because that's what needs to get done. It's that old, squeaky wheel gets greased type attitude.
Oh, yeah.
And you guys have tried long and hard. All right. All right, let's go ahead and take a quick break. What are we going to talk about when we come back? More news?
Well, I want to talk about Kauai Creek Motocross. Ooh. I think that's fun.
Did you have fun?
I had fun. And I want to talk a little bit about things going on there. Let's see. The OHMV Off-Highway Motor Vehicle Recreation Commission is having a meeting next week.
Okay.
And so they're going to talk about some stuff.
And Audrey, you're going to talk about Lost Lizard?
Yes, I have a couple of different things that I want to talk about. One, it's coming to the end of the season, and safety and trail etiquette, as I have a story to share from last week.
I don't want to hear it. I'm going to step outside.
Yeah, you can step outside. This is FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Politics, I hate it. All right, folks, welcome back. This is SDORC Dirt Radio right here on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Sponsored by
Wayne Miller Mobile Tire out in Santee. If you need some work done on your car, you need to get new tires, give Wayne Miller a try. Let's see what he has to offer. 619-596-2800. He's there to take care of his people.
Everybody sells tires. Wayne sells service. Yeah. Nordstrom's attitude, just not the price.
Audrey, are you going to work for Wayne? I hear you're plugging tires now, right?
Are you plugging tires?
No, I ran over
you
a
You did
screw.
Again?
Yeah.
You
ran over
Let
a screw.
Let me tell you, I ran over a screw at work the other day in my parking lot, and I literally had to plug my tire. A little alarm, you know, the 2018 JL, a little alarm ding, 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 my tire thing, and then it said, check your tire pressure, and then it alerted me to what tire it was.
That was nice.
Yeah, so I walk around, and I look at literally
yourself?
I have like this 4-inch screw sticking out of my tire.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then right next to it, I had a little 1-inch nail. So I literally ran over 2 in my parking lot right at my work.
You're a lucky husband, KJ. He's got a beautiful wife who knows how to
plug
a tire, a hole in a tire.
Wow.
And continues. That's a
so
lucky
didn't
guy there.
Did you call Wayne on this one?
Not for this one. This one was just a simple plug of the tire. So you know, I had both of them done within 15 minutes.
It's good that you know that, because when you go to the Gazelle, that's going to be an important.
Oh, I wish
rebel.
It was the Gazelle. It's the
Rebel. But
yes.
I'm saying that's going to be
that's
an important
a valuable
task
skill. Yeah.
Yes.
To know that.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. You want
definitely.
To have a vehicle with the sensors for the tires.
Right.
Yeah.
You know it's going down before you get to that point of no return.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So what else you got newsy-wise?
So, I bought a Red Sticker bike because the Red Sticker program will be ending. And so that's a motocross bike. Mm-hmm. So I got an FC450. And I've been going to tracks. I went to a track last weekend. I went to a track yesterday.
Oh, yeah. You got
to
break it in.
I got to break it in. So I've been enjoying riding it. It's a wonderful bike. So last weekend, my buddy Brad paid for the gate for both of us. And then Dave told me about, well, you should get a media credential when you go to these places because you can talk about them on the radio. So,
right.
Okay. So I sent him an email. They came back. Yeah, you can come in. So I get to the gate and they wave me in and they told me that the guy who runs the track is up on the hill. He's number 41. He also rides. So we do a few laps, we do a session, and then I go look to find the guy, Randy Minter. So I find Randy, and like we're like old friends. Like we used to ride together 30 years ago.
Oh, wow.
When we rode Observe Trials, we were we were competitors, and we used to hang out together. So that was really great. So we sat down and talked for a good hour.
Mm-hmm.
And so Kuia Creek has a pro track.
Where is this located, Kuia Creek?
So, Kuia Creek. It's in Anza. So it's on the Highway 371 that goes from Highway 79. So like we take 15 to Temecula, back on 79.
Okay.
And then we head east on 371. And that'll take you down into Palm Desert.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a community there. There's a casino. And this is on the Indian Reservation. They have a track there.
Big?
It's a big track, yeah. So they have three tracks, a kid's track, a vet track, and the main track.
Mm.
And the main track is suitable for national championship motocross. Wow. Like, it's a good track.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lot of pit space.
They hold nationals there.
I don't think they've had a national. They have big races. Oh. And professional teams rent the
for
place.
Practice.
Yeah, they practice. I know Yamaha goes there regularly. For testing, yeah. Well, they also have a lot of space behind the track for trail riding. And do you know what Works is?
Mm-hmm.
World Off-Road Championship. So they have Works races there.
Mm.
So Randy says, let me take you guys on a trail ride. So Brad and I get behind him. And he's an old-looking guy. One of his ankles is fused. He's 66. He hauled the mail out there. And we were like doing everything we can to keep up. first gear, like as fast as you can in first gear, like in between the rock, over rocks. So he was a trials rider. So he's not afraid to ride over rocks. Right. So we're like, ah, it's a big rock. How steep is the other side? I didn't walk this section yet. So we had a lot of fun following him around. So his brake ankle is fused. So he has a hand brake next to the clutch lever. So he has two levers on the left side.
Oh,
he has
wow.
the clutch cool. lever and then the rear brake so he can operate. So we rode all around. And we talked about managing a motocross track and how challenging it is.
Oh.
And he said for all his life he raced and he would just show up at the races and everything was fine. So now that he's managing, he's got all the challenges from the guy that drives the water truck too fast and it doesn't put enough water down and it breaks the truck, to the equipment operator who doesn't make a smooth path next to the track so the water truck can go smooth, to being broken in at least 20 times to be robbed. And all they're getting is flyers and waivers in the trailer.
And they're still breaking
and
in.
And
they still
breaking.
Try to break in. There's nothing in there, and they get broken in regularly.
Wow.
To people, like, breaking the gate to get in and camp because they got to the track late at night and they want to get in camp for the next day.
Good
God. So this is interesting. They have a well and a pump. He can pump 100 gallons a minute. They have a big tank, and they have a water tank. Well, the well hasn't been doing as well lately. And it turns out there's people growing illegal marijuana across the road in the same water table, and they're pulling so much water out that it's affecting the water of the track. And he says that the DEA helicopter comes over periodically, and then the next day the paddy wagon comes and they
take them all away.
They have a big, you know, big bust over there. So there's a lot of illegal growing over on this side, and then those people don't bother the track. He said they're Chinese, which is weird. He said, yeah, there's Chinese guys growing pot there.
Oh, wow.
Which I don't understand. But then there's the meth people that do the breaking in.
Right.
Right. And then he has his own people that he hires that he has trouble with. So there's like all these problems.
If I've said it once, I've said it 100 times. You can't run a track and race. You have to do one or the other.
That's funny. He says he makes more money on practice than on a race day, and he negotiates like people.
Well, sure.
You know,
they kind of semi-rent the track, you know?
Yeah, they rent the track. And he said, you know, if you wanted to rent the track on a Wednesday, you can have it for $1,000 for if you want to get, you know, 20 friends. That's what he would love to do.
Yeah.
And by the way, Scott Burnworth was at the gate when I got there. And Scott Burnworth is an old professional factory rider from the 80s. And he still is active. He competes and he puts on his own race, the California SoCal Vintage Classic Vintage Motocross Race.
Wow.
So he's doing that May 1st at Kuia Creek.
Mm-hmm.
And he was putting flyers up. I had a flyer under my windshield. So I talked to Scott. He's a nice guy.
Sure.
So he was there. And the guy, Randy, who runs the track, said it's really hard to change the track, like the jumps. So they have jumps on the track.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them, while they're not quite tabletops, they're not double jumps either. They're sort of in between. They have like a slight V in between. And I would personally like them to fill that in. So if you come up short, you don't land on a upsloping face. He says he doesn't want to do that.
No,
it's a lot of work.
Leave it the way it is. That's a challenge of the track. That's like that's like Bristol Motor Speedway and Martinsville.
Yeah.
Super challenges, Daytona, Talladega. Nah, leave them the way they are. That gives that track a personality.
Yeah.
I personally would like to see those filled in more.
That's because you're old.
I am old. Like,
and you don't want a face plant.
He just had his 60th birthday. You know?
I turned 60. Yeah. When I was 25, there was not a gray hair on the track.
And you could
care. Now everyone has, like half the people.
Because you guys won't give up.
We won't give up, and not that many young guys. But
coming out with my monkey. I'm going to
show you
how to
ride. For the old people like me and for the young guys coming up who are learning how to jump, they shouldn't be punished because they jump 3/4 of the distance of the ramp of the jump.
Okay, so let's talk to Randy and say, can we have a senior citizen track with little teeny whoops, no more than a foot high?
I'll go to the kids track.
Yeah, go to the kids track. Quit whining.
Yeah.
The kids will wax you. That, don't you?
By my third session, I was clearing everything.
Of
course.
You big crybaby.
What am I crying about?
I don't know what you're
saying. But as you're working your way up to speed, it's
you know
challenge.
What you should do for Randy, because I'm sure he has absolutely no money, because nobody.
They just break even.
Why don't you get his schedule and tell him that what we'll do is we'll announce your races prior to your races on the radio, and we'll do it for you free gratis. And then maybe every once in a while, if you want to call in or come in and talk about it, we're happy to. That's what we have to do. Besides talking the political aspect,
we definitely need to help keep these.
We need to help these small.
It's a fun place to ride.
Just like Brona Oaks.
Yep. Sure, Brona's a fun place.
That poor little track is. I mean, you talk about the little train that could. I mean, they push and push and push, and ownership comes in, they can't do it. Then ownership comes in, and they can't do it.
It's one of my favorites. I mean, I grew up riding that.
Did you ride at Barona Oaks?
I rode at Barona Oaks. I played paintball.
Yeah. I've gone out to that track, and I love it.
We would go to Barona Oaks in the morning, and then we would go to the race at night.
They have the best pits in motocross.
I know.
All those trees, that's the best.
And then we got to get them to come to KUSI, even Randy. Say, okay, yeah, you're up in, up in Temecula area.
Yeah.
But get three or four bikes, come down on us.
People go there from all over. So I parked next to a guy. I said hi to him as I pulled in, and he had a new gas 450, and I didn't think that much of him. And I'm talking to Randy. He goes, oh, yeah, Jeff Aaron is here, too. He's parked over there. So I'm like, oh my God, I'm parked next to Jeff Aaron.
You are.
So Jeff Aaron is 10-time National Observe Trials champion. He's a serious dude.
It's like walking up to Elvis Presley and say, excuse me, you're in my parking space.
Well, Elvis could never walk into a 7-Eleven. Not the way Jeff Aaron can.
If you ran the 7-Eleven, he could.
Oh yeah, can I give
you park in a handicap?
So I come back. I go, I didn't know I was parked next to a famous guy. He goes, oh, what am I famous for?
Yeah, right.
So then I had to remind
him about all those championships. That's what those guys, not to change the subject, I was announcing the velodrome races here in San Diego.
The bicycle racing?
You probably didn't even know there's a velodrome.
I've raced on the velodrome.
So I'm sitting there. They asked me to do it for a year, and I said, okay, and I don't know.
I've raced BMX and road bicycle in the velodrome.
Spoke wheels from solid wheels. So I'm going around saying, you've been riding? He says, yeah, I've been riding a while. Any accomplishments? So I can talk about it. He says, well, gold medal in 2000, gold medal in 2000. I'm going, gold medal?
I should know who you are.
Well, it's a little embarrassing. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Why? Because you're listening to SDORC Dirt Radio on FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks, welcome back. You are listening to SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
Is this segment brought to you by anybody?
Chris Wiley with PRMI, Primary Residential Mortgage, Inc. If you're looking to get a loan on your home, refinance your loan, you need that FHA specialist, reach out to Chris Wiley, Primary Residential Mortgage, Inc. out in Alpine. 619-722-1303.
Cool. All right. We're talking velodrome racing, though.
Yeah, we've gone off topic a little bit.
It's not off-road, let me tell you. So anyway, what were you going to say?
Oh, so Claremont Cycle Supply may be coming in as a sponsor.
Sweet.
So what's interesting about him is he has a spot with the station, but he may be also coming in with our show.
Excellent.
So that'll be fun. I was in there buying some stuff the other day.
Yeah.
He's on Claremont Mesa Boulevard by Convoy Street.
Right.
Nice guy, too.
Excellent.
So the Off-Highway Motor Vehicle Commission is meeting this week, and they're having mainly a private discussion. It'll be not open to the public, and they're going to be talking about litigation.
Mm-hmm.
So there's three lawsuits going on with Carnegie Off-Road Area and about the expansion area. The guy we've talked about who's behind the two bills, SB 799, and I forget the new one. It was 517, AB5. Anyway, so this guy, the neighbor, doesn't like the park. So he has these three lawsuits. And then they're also going to talk about Oceano Dunes in there. So that'll be interesting to find out if I can find out what's going on. And I'm friends with one of the commissioners, Tom Lemon. So maybe he'll let us know a little bit of what's going on.
Right.
But he's also going to bring up the combined use project that we have going. That's to remind people on the north and the south side of Ocotillo Wells, there's two sections of road that we want to be legal for off-road vehicles to go down a little ways for access. On the south, access to the store, and the north so they can get into Truck Haven from the main part of Ocotillo Wells. So what we need, the next step is for the commission to write a letter to the CHP.
Mm-hmm.
So Tom is going to be getting either permission to write that letter or getting the commission to help write that letter. Gotcha. And once that's done, then the county supervisors will make letters and we'll send that package to the CHP, and hopefully that's gonna go. There's some trouble at the Buckman Springs rest area. We're still trying to figure out. It's been closed.
Still closed?
It was closed for a long time.
Yeah, and then a couple of our users had said that they had went and it had been open, but we had just recently went and it was closed again. So I reached out to Caltrans and I was like, is this true? Was it open? And our representative said, yes, it did open for a couple weeks, but it's reclosed down again. She's not sure why and what happened. It was closed down because they were doing all the rest stop renovations for...
Yeah, they were fixing up stuff in there,
which is great. If she doesn't know why it closed again, that's kind
of
odd.
Well, she's the representative for all of the Adopt-A-Highway people.
I
have a specific representative that manages that particular stretch of highway, and so he's supposed to get back to me and let me know what's going on with it and why it's closed down again. But it just really adds up to the trash for us. But just in case, you know, you're a little like me with a lead foot and you got a speeding ticket, or you need to get some community service hours in there, we are hosting a highway cleanup on Saturday, April 24th. We are meeting at 8 a.m. at Buckman Springs, and we're going to take about 2 hours to do our stretch of the freeway. It's approximately 4 miles, 2 miles each side of the freeway that we do. It's a lot of fun. And definitely come on out and join us for that one.
SDORC.
SDORC.org, www.sdorc.org.
Yeah. Or info at
SDORC.org also gets us email.
Yeah, community service, whether you're in high school and you're trying to get community service that way,
for your college hours,
maybe
background.
You drove after you had a few cocktails and you have or something similar.
And you need
similar,
to do some community service.
And the judge asked you to do some community service.
You might as well do it in a pretty
in
location.
Yeah,
it's
kind of
fun.
I can write you a letter
hunt
and sign off on your
who knows
hours.
What you'll find.
Yeah, treasure hunt.
We found some interesting stuff.
And, yeah, Nicole Honstead, our secretary, last cleanup that we did, actually found a $100 bill.
No way.
So, yeah, yeah.
All Nicole, I find is trash.
Yeah, she's cuter than you.
So it God, is the end of she? The season, though, and as we're coming to the end of the season, right. Lots of people are trying to race out there for that last desert trip of the season. For me, it's usually Easter. We don't usually go out after Easter. The weekend after Easter is usually our last one because Easter's right. a family thing
so
for us.
For our listener that wants to know every Sunday, where can you camp?
So there's several,
where,
there's several places
way, where
open
you
still.
Can't camp.
So
I guess
just because it's the end of the season, as of April 30th, you no longer have to pay for your weekend pass for Glamis. It's the end of the season, or your weekly pass or your annual pass. There's no pass required after April 30th until
October
1st.
So you
October
take that
1st.
Money and buy water and sunscreen.
Yeah, because
April
it's
15th, 30th?
I think it's April 30th is the end 15th? Of the season. Is it the 15th?
I think it's the 15th. Well, you can look at the BLM website.
Yeah, like I said, you can
definitely April, definitely May 1st. May 1st
for
on,
sure.
For sure, you do not have to have a dune pass to go out
for
to
the
dune. For
the price of your pass,
but
you can get a shade, some
sunscreen. Water and sunscreen.
Yeah, it's 120 degrees plus out there. So
120
no,
plus?
But in it May, depends. It's not that bad. It's like barely 100, and it's not that bad.
If you ride fast enough.
No, good. Boardmanville, last weekend, Boardmanville was 101.
Does he stay open 360?
No, five? He doesn't. The weekend after Easter is his last weekend every year.
He
just
down.
Shut down. This weekend is his last weekend that he's open. Easter was last weekend, right? I don't know.
Yeah last
was,
weekend.
Easter
he'd
was last
fun.
Sunday.
He, you know what?
He's really busy week this week.
You're talking.
Huh?
Once he closes down, he might be fun to have on radio.
Yeah, actually, I've talked about him coming on radio. I've talked about him sponsoring. And I'm trying to get him to give me money for the Rebel right now. Yeah. So, Lance, if you're listening, come on.
Well,
you know, you,
show.
You
send
want
him
me
the
to.
Show.
Well, he's a good guy,
in,
too.
I'll bet you.
Lance is great.
As well, many off-road vehicles that have been sold during this insane pandemic, I'll bet you 80% of them don't even know he's out there.
Yeah, you're more than likely correct. But he has making headway. He's very active in the Make Glamis Safe Again, in the Safe Railroad Crossing. So he actually has news for us.
We can even
so
have
he's
him
gonna
on
he
TV
wants to come in and share about what's going on out at Glamis for that.
I'll do a separate segment on KUSI just on Boardman's and Glamis if
yes,
he wants it.
Yes. So
you just gotta let him know.
One of the things that I wanted to talk about is, you know, even though we're coming to the end of the season, it just means that literally we're switching from one gear to another. My husband and I are planning a camping trip out to Corral Canyon. So, you know, we're just switching from one gear to another. But as you're trying to race out and get your last desert trip of the season in, please be safe out there. I had an acquaintance of mine who was out with a friend of mine last weekend and was out on the side-by-side trail and riding in one of their side-by-sides, but he was driving. And, you know, he's just going too fast and unfamiliar, and he flipped the side-by-side and tore his hand off.
Tore his hand off?
Ripped his hand off, yes.
Literally. So,
literally ripped his hand off in the side-by-side last weekend.
That's when I wanted to go outside and... like, you know, la, 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 la.
Yeah. Did he
put it in a cooler and take it to the
doctor? You can say Air Reach Medical came out to him. This was in Plaster. This was in Plaster City last weekend.
Did they pick his hand up?
So they picked his hand up, and they you know. So that's another thing is when you're
stop.
Going to the
wait
desert,
a minute, wait
you
a
need
minute.
To have
Did
you
they
need to
reattach
have a plan.
It?
I'm not sure yet. I haven't heard the final story of what happened. I just, you know, it makes me come back around.
Whole hand gone.
It's hard to ride with one hand. I mean, I can ride one-handed, but I like riding with two hands.
That is mind-boggling.
Yeah. So when you roll over a Jeep, anything with like not a ATV, but with a Jeep or a side-by-side, if you start to roll over and you realize you've hit that point of no return, put your hands on your chest
and ride it
like
out.
Hug yourself and duck down and just wait till you stop.
Unfortunately,
people stick their hand out the window try to stop it from rolling over.
Yeah.
It never works.
Never.
No.
Not one time will that work.
I mean, I've had a buddy break his wrist. We were out on a trail. I don't know. This was like 2 years ago, but he he was in a Jeep and he literally just did the slow tip over. And as he did the slow tip over, he put his hand out to try
and
stop himself.
I can push it back. It's barely moving.
I can push it back. The weight of that vehicle is too much, and he literally broke his femur in half because he thought he could
see.
Femur's your leg.
I can't say anything.
Radius. Radius.
I can't.
I know all the bones I've broken.
I can't say anything. I spun an Austin Healey Bug-Eyed Sprite out in the rain.
Yeah.
And I was spinning in the end, you know, between the freeways, and coming up on a telephone pole. I stuck my hand out and missed the pole.
Oh
thank goodness.
I know, but it's a natural reaction.
I trained myself. Think about it. Like, if I start to go over, I hug myself. Pull your hand. Like, I've done that in my mind over and over again.
Yeah.
So when the emergency happens,
I hope he stick my arm out the window.
His hand
one of the
on.
Other things I want to say, you know,
nerves,
is if you pass out from the pain, right? So, you know, and then the other people in your vehicle,
I'd pass out if I saw it and I wouldn't even hurt.
Out, right?
And he could bleed out.
Yes, so they're knocked out and you're passed out from the pain and this person's unconscious. So how do they know, you know, what your emergency information is and what you can do? So I have an app on my phone. It's called Medical ID. So if my phone is locked and I get into an accident, the first thing that comes up on my phone is this thing's called Medical ID. It's a free app that you can get and you can have, and it has my emergency contacts in case I'm in an accident. Gives my medical information,
blood type
and everything in case I'm knocked out, you know, who you need to contact and that sort of thing. So you never know when it's going to happen. It can happen, you know, you just got to be prepared. You got to train yourself for it. One of the other things is on your lock screen when you're out camping. A lot of people lose their phones and stuff. So on your lock screen, you can put who you're camping with and where you're camped at. So as your lock screen comes up, it identifies where your rest of your camp is. You know, if you get injured and you're, you know, say you're riding a dirt bike and you crash out on the thing and you're knocked out and somebody comes up on you and you, you know, hopefully the rest of the riders that you're riding with, you don't ever go alone.
Never, never,
never. Never, ever go alone.
Seldom go
hopefully,
alone.
Hopefully, yeah, Yeah, pinch you right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, pinch him, will you?
Yeah, because so, you never know. You I mean, never something know. Could happen, you know? Something, as you switch gears and you switch from the desert and you're now you're going out into the forests and, you know, we're riding up in Cuyamaca and we're riding up in, you know, in Big Bear and you're going to the different trails. You've got animals that can come and run across the road in front of you. You've got something, you know, something
there's a million things.
Anything that can happen.
Will happen.
And it, yeah, exactly. It will happen. So just, you know, think of safety, be prepared, have that first aid kit, have that fire extinguisher, literally know where you are. Let somebody know where you are and where you're going is key. So you know, if something does happen, you're prepared, you can get out of there as fast as you possibly can, right. And you can get to where you can be taken care of.
Well, people ask me all the time, did you take that off road? No. Why not? Because I didn't have anybody to go with.
Yeah.
Well, you should just know I didn't have any.
God, you're part so smart.
I didn't have anybody to go with.
Yeah.
You just have no idea that the things I get myself
there's people out there.
In.
There's meetup groups. There's Jeep clubs.
Right, right.
Like, yeah. There's ways to find people.
It's just like
to
a walking
with.
Club. Say, hey, I'm going to go hike a mountain. Do anybody want to go with me type thing on Facebook?
Yeah.
No,
Facebook, there's a million
safety
groups.
Safety is key. Safety is key.
Man.
You know, this was a simple spot. It was a very popular destination. It's called the Sandbar in Plaster City. So it literally happened where literally you don't
place.
Think
yeah.
that. And that little spot, you don't
how
really
get hurt
think.
In the,
how do you think? I know.
Because when like, the least thing's going to happen, it happens.
Exactly. When you least expect it happens.
Well, so much for having lunch.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. You're listening to SDORC Dirt Radio on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The answer.
All right, folks. Welcome back. You are listening to SDORC Dirt Radio right here on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The answer.
So, what else you got? You got your finger on line three.
Well, one of the things I want to say as we're coming up in our last segment is we're towards the end of our contract. We're in our last 4 weeks of our contract and we need to sign and renew our contract.
Oh,
and I want
right.
to know whether or not how many people are we reaching out to. I know we don't have it too interactive while we're on the radio, but at the same time, you can email us, you can go on Facebook, you can go on Instagram,
right.
and
I have
you
no
can hit me up on Instagram or not. You can ask questions. If there's something that you would like us to talk about and there's topics that you want to know about, please reach out to us. Let us know.
And if you like the show and you want
it
to continue,
you
got
to
help
continue. You got to help us out. We need to know what's going on. We need your support. We do buy our radio airtime here to make everybody aware of what's going on. We do need more sponsors. We do need more commercials to keep us going. We need to know that we're reaching out to people, and people are, you know, we're
is
getting the word out.
Them?
Is it worthwhile for us to keep the radio going? Because
if we're the only ones having fun,
exactly. You know, our lobbyists costs a lot of money. we pay, you know, almost 10 grand a year for our lobbyist, and we split that cost with several
other groups.
ASA and CORVA make.
So if somebody wants to help out,
Legislative Coalition, we're looking for people to join. We're looking for more groups to join the Off-Road Vehicle Legislative Coalition and team up with us and partner with us with that, putting in comments, giving feedback on our legislative bills, being active with basically involved in the community and what's happening. This is, you know, we volunteer our time for it. We don't get paid for any of this.
And neither do I.
No, neither do you.
This pays for us to do what we...
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
And if you're an off-road, if you're CORVA or any of the other groups, if you join in and send us a check, we're happy to bring you on. We're happy to talk about you. You'll fall right into one of our slots you know, as an advertiser. Just because you're a nonprofit or you're trying to do the same thing we're doing, unless
we
you have
Amy
your own radio
in.
Show.
We should get Amy to call in. Amy Granite, the executive director of CORVA, she'd have a lot to say.
Let's do it.
Well, I'll get her in next week.
Next Sunday.
Amy Granite. I always say
Amy Granite.
Amy Granite.
And maybe we should get Nicole also from ASA.
Have them both
Nicole
come in.
She's an executive director over there.
Have them both come in studio because it's always better to have them in studio.
Amy lives in Sacramento and Nicole
she
lives
can
in
call.
Arizona.
She just had a long recovery foot surgery.
Okay.
So as long as she has her hands.
We can have her call in for sure.
Her hands work.
Yeah.
So we talked a little bit about Anza Borrego Desert State Park last week. that they're proposing to charge $20 a night to camp near a vault toilet. So a vault toilet is a toilet that has no water. It's just a hole in the ground with a building and a toilet and the paper.
I think they call that an outhouse.
Pretty much.
You could call that an outhouse also.
Since it doesn't have running water or plumbing.
Yeah, it's just permanent, so it's concrete. So they want to charge.
They want to do a project where they begin charging the fees. And they have four areas where they want to do it. Culp Valley, Pegleg Smith Road, which is by Clark Dry Lake, the calcite mine, and inside Fish Creek.
Now, I think I was confused on this. I thought that they wanted $20 to charge anywhere in Anza Borrego.
No,
but they
only
want to charge
those,
them for those, red
those
circles,
places
right,
that have that? Restrooms.
Okay, okay.
So not every everywhere
so
else will still be
for
free.
Everybody.
So just out whoever, where.
Yes.
But here's, and they have a survey that you can take on the internet, and you can answer questions. But the survey wasn't enough for me because I wanted to point out to them that the Bureau of Land Management has land contiguous right next to Anza Borrego, and they charge $6 a night to camp there. The Cleveland National Forest, which is also right up next to Anza Borrego, they charge $7 a night, and that's for areas with a vault toilet.
Yeah.
And maybe a fire ring.
Yeah, so 20
so $6 or $7
like
versus 20,
yeah.
It seems out of line.
Yes,
and
I agreed.
So I looked for the where you would send your comments, and I couldn't find the place. So I called the park. I talked to a lady, and she gave me the email address of the superintendent and the head ranger. And I said, is the head ranger by chance Norm Rumsky? Yes, he is. Okay. And Ray is.
Norm,
so it turns out
Norm.
I know the superintendent and the head ranger. So I send them my comments. And remember, we asked the representative from Brian Jones' office to help us extend that survey period?
Yes.
Well, Ray wrote me back saying we've extended the survey period.
Awesome. So John Mendoza Mendez with Senator Jones' office.
So John, I got to send him a thank you note.
Yes, we do.
Because that's cool. So John helped us get that. And it's weird that they're only doing a survey. They're not asking for comments on this fee thing. I think some people would want to say what they think.
The survey was very general. And I clicked on the one for Cuyamaca and for Anza Borrego because they're trying to do it in Cuyamaca State Park too.
Right.
And so, and I do a lot of adventures. I probably go 20, 25. I just want to go for a drive and I drive through Cuyamaca,
sure.
You know, and that's one of my favorite places to go. Fishing is Cuyamaca Lake for trout season. You know, there's a lot to experience up in Cuyamaca. I love hiking Eagle Peak, and camping at Pasa Picacho is one of my favorites.
Picacho on the river?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
On right the Colorado on, River down
well,
way out there?
No. It's up in Cuyamaca on the top side.
Because there's a Picacho State Park on the Colorado River.
No,
the Ocotillo Wells manages.
At
but that's also okay.
Yeah, it's
so
one of the campgrounds at yeah. Mm-hmm.
So in this Anza Borrego fees thing, I also wrote in my comments that I had assisted the Bureau of Land Management with increasing the fees for camping at Glamis. And they presented their business plan to me and a couple other people. And we went through it item by item. And they demonstrated why they needed the fees and what would happen if they didn't get the fees. They said, if we don't get this extra money, we're going to have to reduce services. And reducing these services will make it hard on the guests. And it'll make it easier for our opponents who don't like off-roading to create a lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because they can say, well, you're not protecting whatever resources. So I went along with it. And I said to the Anza Borrego, if you want to go over your business plan with me, I'd be happy to sit down and go over it. And if everything looks right, then I can help support this $20 per night thing. But as it stands now, I don't like it. It's way out of line from the other federal agencies. Did you hear when I said the $6 and the $7
right.
a night?
That's what it used to be.
No, that's what it is. The BLM is $6
right,
a night
yeah.
right next door, and the Cleveland National Forest is $7 a night right next door. So
yeah.
they want it for the same vault toilet. So they want $20 a night, which I think is out of line.
Where are you going to, Hawaii?
I'd love to.
No, them. Saving up to go to Hawaii?
I know. Well, the state has their own financial problems, But I'm not sure
They've got more money than you got hair on your head. I'm serious.
Well, have you seen me with my hat on?
Yes, I have.
There was some confusion with this, too, because Anza Borrego is not a state vehicular park. So a lot of people were saying, well, don't our green stickers already pay for this?
No.
This is not this, a state
no green
vehicular
sticker
park.
Money
it's a
goes
state
there.
Park. So no green sticker money actually goes there. So no,
I do know this park has been out low on money for a long time. Mm-hmm. They had a backlog of repairs like in the millions of dollars. And that's been running for years. They have a list of things they'd like to fix, they'd like to spend money on, and the state doesn't give them the money.
Right.
So, and I don't know how you balance this. Like everybody needs money. So what do you do with what you have? I don't think it's right to charge $20 a night to camp there.
I feel like that's raking us over the coals.
So we'll see how that goes. Our lobby coalition last week wrote a letter to California Department of Fish and Wildlife Director Charlton Bonham. And what's interesting is that Bonham spoke when they were working on Oceano Dunes and the Coastal Commission had their big meeting.
Mm-hmm.
This guy who runs Fish and Wildlife, he strongly supported allowing continued motorized access at Oceano Dunes.
Yeah, because
so we wrote him a
support.
Thank you note.
Absolutely,
we were very. I was really surprised that he went in on our side.
Went against the tide, so to speak.
Went against the tide.
I think he knows that the majority of the money comes from
that
our
was
program.
Super cool.
Yeah,
we are. That's a good point, Audrey. That our off-road vehicle program, the green sticker money, is funding a lot of money to their agency.
Sure,
and if the Coastal Commission goes away, they'll lose a lot of money and a lot of management tools for protecting the
all
species
of the off-road community.
Over there.
If it ends because of everything's closed and there's no reason to buy motorcycles or side
by
sides,
then
they're going to be affected because they're going to be losing.
There's a lot of money, a lot of millions of dollars comes from off-roading through our program. Yeah. And helps the species.
They can't see the forest through the trees.
No, the worst is the Sierra Club. They just can't see it. They have these narrow blinders on, and all they can see is get evil off-roaders.
Right.
My favorite for the Oceana Dunes was no vehicles on the beach, and it's the guy that's got his vehicle on the beach.
That was hysterical
picture.
In the
picture. Water on the beach. Basically, he's right up in where
the
water is. He's
right on
the
edge of the water.
No vehicles on the beach.
He's sitting right next to his car and he has a sign. Yeah. A sign that says no vehicles on the beach. He's sitting in a lawn chair 6 inches from his car on the beach.
Remember when we did the protest for Oceano Dunes?
That was a great picture.
We did a whole hour on the protest. That guy was at the protest and there was like a handful of them that were against the vehicles on the beach. And he was on the beach with his vehicle.
Kind of reminds you
almost in the water.
Kind of reminds you of Newsom at a 5-star restaurant eating with friends and family and telling you,
and Pelosi
don't
getting
you
her
dare
hair done.
Don't go out. There's a lockdown. Yeah.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. Become Newsom. A member, $25 annually. Support those that support your sport. Chris Wiley, PRMI, Primary Residential Mortgage Inc., or Wayne Miller, Mobile Tire out in Santee. Or Alpha Site Logistics out in El Centro and Imperial Valley. If you're going to put on an event, you're doing construction out there, you're working out in Brawley or anywhere out there.
And thank you, Brian Jones' office, for helping us.
He write you a check?
Yeah.
Did he? I don't know. Not yet, no. He didn't get that check yet?
Not yet.
But Brian Jones, he's a big supporter.
And we got to go after Joel Anderson. He's got to write a check.
Yeah.
So because like you said, I didn't realize our contract is up.
Yeah.
Because I extended it anyway, but that's another story. So that will be on me. But no, folks, really, seriously, businesses, I don't care what kind of a business you're in, if you believe in the off-road, you know, and you want to help out, I just looked it up. If you could support us at $62.50 a week, that'll get you one segment. And that's cost.
Yeah.
So let's make it happen. All right. We're going to hit the dusty trail, but don't go anywhere. Mark Lewick's in the house. Pinstriper was on KUSI this morning. We're going to talk about pinstriping right here on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Pinstriping motorcycle guest.
Oh, he does good work.